Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Hey. Today we're going to discuss, finish up Be'ezras Hashem, the 12th parak of Masech HaShabbos. We're going to give several examples where the Torah uses words that could be understood as an abbreviation for a complete phrase, in a trikun. The Gemara is going to ask where we have in a trikun in the Torah. And then the very last bit of the Gemara in the 12th parak is a discussion related to Yediyah L'chatzi Shir. If you know about a Malacha, after having violated only half of the Shir, would that prevent the initial half of the Shir from combining with the later half of the Shir to constitute something that you'd be chayav for? And the 13th parak begins with Mishnayos to teach the minimum shear necessary to violate a whole bunch of different malachos: weaving, sewing, whitening, dyeing, spinning. But we just continue along the list of the malachos, and the majority of Amud Beis discusses someone who tears his garments in mourning over a mace or out of pure anger, korea b'chamaso. And we discuss how one is supposed to react when somebody dies, when an adam kasher or a relative dies, and how to eulogize a person properly, and the importance of eulogizing a person properly. So we're holding on to Kufay Amud Aleph at the top, two lines from the top of the page. Kasav Osachas Natrikun. So the Mishnah had said that if you write one letter as a Natrikun, meaning you write one letter that's supposed to stand for an entire word. So normally the Malach of Kosev is only if you write two letters. What if you write one letter, let's say, like you want to say Rav, and you write Resh with a little line to indicate that you're talking about Rav? So is that only considered to be a violation of Kosev? That's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira said you're chayiv, and the Chum said you're potter. So says Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochum Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, minayin l'dashon netrikun min haTorah. Where do we find this concept of netrikun in the Torah? Where do we find in the Torah that the Torah will sometimes say something in shorthand when it means to say something much bigger? Now, we're not going to have any examples in the Torah where it says only one letter and it refers to a word, but we're going to have a word that really refers to an entire phrase. So where do we find that in the Torah? Shenemar. So Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, because the Pasuk says, Ki av hamon gayim nisaticha. So we understand av hamon both as words that are abbreviations of larger phrases. Av stands for the following, that av nesaticha l'umos and bachur nesaticha b'umos. I've placed you as a father over the nations and also as the chosen one over the nations. Hamon stands for the following, chaviv nesaticha b'umos. The hey and the ches are assumed to be interchangeable. They even have similar pronunciations, especially those who pronounce the ches, the way Sfardim pronounce the ches is a little more similar to a hey than the way we typically pronounce the ches, but hey and ches are assumed to be interchangeable. So when we say hamon, the hey stands for chaviv nesaticha bu'umos, you're going to be beloved amongst the umos. The mem is melech nesaticha lu'umos, the vav is vasik nesaticha bu'umos, and the nun is ne'aman nesaticha lu'umos. So it's all in the trick, and it's all an abbreviation of Avram Avinu's unique status amongst the nation of the world. Rabbi Yochanan Didayamah, Rabbi Yochanan himself, however, said a different place where we find Nutrikan in the Torah. The first was what he said in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra with Av Hamon, but he himself says it's a different place. Anochi, when we say Anochi Hashem Elokechan, Yasser Sadibros, it's a Nutrikan. Anonafshi Kasivas Yahavis. I myself, Rashi says, Ani ba'atzmi. I myself, k'sivas yavis, I have written down and given over, meaning I've given myself over in writing. That's the idea of the Torah, that the Torah is shmosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in writing. It's a description of Hashem in writing. So that's what Hashem tells us, the secret that He's giving us in the Torah. Rabbanan Amri, Amira ni'ima, k'siva yehiva. That the Rabbanan say, no, Anochi stands for a pleasant amira, some words of that are pleasant, I have written and given. Igada Amri, others say, Anochi l'mafreya, that you should actually have the Natrikun backwards, meaning that the Natrikun starts with the Yud, not with the Aleph, and goes backwards in the word Anochi, as follows, Yehiva k'siva ne'emanim amareha, that I've given over in writing something whose words are very trustworthy. So what are they arguing about? What's the machlokas? What the Natrikun really is, whether it's non-nafshik k'siva si'hiva samira ni'ima, or l'mafreya, whether you're supposed to read it backwards. So there is a comment of the Meshech Chachman. Meshech Chachman, Parshas Yisro, says that maybe this relates to the Machlokas Meseches Gittin and Daf Samach. There is a Machlokas how the Torah was given. Was the Torah given Megillah Megillah Nitna, or is Torah Chasuma Nitna? Meaning clearly Moshe Rabbeinu was giving us mitzvos, in piecemeal. As we were going on, he was giving us various different mitzvos. But how about the Torah itself? Written Torah. The entire Torah written. Did he write piece by piece and give it to us piece by piece? And then at the end of his life, when he was finally finished, we put it all together? Or did Moshe Rabbeinu not write down the Torah until the last day of his life? And that's how he gave us the entire Torah, all as one piece. So then, according to the Shita, that Megillah Megillah Nitna, that's Amira Ni'ima, that each Amira individually was written down separately. Moshe wrote it on a sefer b'diyo, and he gave it to Bnei Yisrael, taught them Torah. But l'man d'yomer chasuma nitna, according to the Shita, that it was given all at once, the Torah was given chasuma. So the fact that it was given over to Bnei Yisrael was only at the very end. So when Moshe Rabbeinu first said it mipi agvura, it was like the parshios of Nachlos and the Menoslavcha, the parshios of Tzitz. Each piece that Moshe Rabbeinu said over, he hadn't actually given over in writing yet. It was only after 40 years that he gave it over in writing. So that's ne'eman in mamareha, that you trusted those words that were said over the course of the years, that now is Yehivas Ksiva. Now Yehivas Ksiva, that which is ne'eman in mamareha, that which the words you've been trusting over the course of the years. So again, according to the Shita, that it's Amira Ni'ima Ksiva Yehiva, that's the Torah Megillah Nitna, that the pleasant words were written down one at a time and given over. Torah Chasuma Nitna is the one that reads it backwards, that Yehiva Ksiva Ne'amana Mamareha, that what I'm giving to you now are the Amiros that you've been trusting over the course of time coming from Moshe Rabbeinu. Debei Rabbi Nasan Amri Ki Yarat HaDerech L'Negdi, that the Pasuk describes by Bilam, I think it is, right? That Kiyarat HaDerech L'Negdi, that the Malach Hashem said, why are you hitting this Ason? Why are you hitting your donkey three times? Shalosh Regalim. So, Hinei Anochi Yatzasi L'Satam Kiyarat HaDerech L'Negdi. So what does that mean? So Yarat is a Nutrikan also. Yira Ra'asa Natsa. That he saw the Malach, he was fearful, and he turned away. That's what the donkey did. Tana, is a different nutrikun. Carmel, that the word Carmel is Carmale, it's a full head of grain. Ravach bar Yaakov, like a full pillow. Ravach bar Yaakov amar, v'hukilani klala nimretzes. So that when the Pasuk says v'hukilani klala nimretzes, the word nimretzes is a nutrikun, meaning this is a reference to the cursing of David HaMelech. So that Shimi ben Gera cursed him, so he goes through what is the curse that he gave to David HaMelech. So it's Nutrikun, Nimretzes was that he claimed about David that Noefu, that he's an adulterer, Moavihu, that he's a Moavi, Rotzeachu, that he's a murderer, Tzorerhu, that he persecutes, Toevahu, and that he is an abomination as a melech. Rav Nachum Yitzchak Amar Manit Daber Umanit Stadak. Rav Nachum Yitzchak is a different pasuk by the Achei Yosef that the Yehuda says, what are we supposed to say? Man Omer L'Adoni Manit Daber Umanit Stadik Halukim Motzah Savona Vedecha Hinu Avadim L'Adoni. What can we say to make ourselves righteous? How can we say anything? So Nitzadak is actually a nutrikon of Yehuda giving a message that we in fact are righteous. Nechonim anachnu, tzadikim anachnu, tahorim anachnu, dakim anachnu is another word for tahor. Dakim is pure. Kedoshim anachnu, that we're kedoshim. So that's what Yehuda was saying, that in reality we are pure, we are correct, we are actually right. Okay, on the nutrikun of the ason of Bilam, of the donkey of Bilam, notice how it has Yira and then Ra'asa. Yira is fear, Ra'asa is saw. So it's interesting, the Maral points out in Gor Aryeh in Parshas Balak, that the donkey first was fearful and then saw the Malach, and then veered from the road. Because before it saw the Malach, it had a sense of fear. It's the Gemara talks about this in a few places, where a person has I think the Gemara at the very beginning of Maseches Megillah has such a comment, that a person sometimes knows that their soul sees something that they themselves don't even really see, that you have just have an intuitive sense to be afraid. So before the donkey even actually physically saw anything, the donkey knew to be afraid. It had an intuitive sense that it should be fearful of what was going on. Okay, last mission in the Perek, Daf Kuf Hei, HaKosev Bezosios Peshtei HaLemos. Let's say a person writes two letters in two periods of forgetfulness. Achas Shachros V'Achas Pein Arbaim. He writes one letter in the morning and one letter in the evening. Rav Gamliel Mechayev V'Cham Poter. Rav Gamliel says he's Chayev. The Cham say that he's Poter. So if you look at Rashi, Achas Shachros V'Achas Pein Arbaim, Kivin Davali Shuhus Pein Atayim Kidei Leida Havala Kishtei HaLemos. That counts as Shtei HaLemos. It counts as two separate periods of forgetfulness, because you had enough time in between to realize what you had done. That you wrote one in the morning, one in the afternoon. So that makes it Shtei HaLemos. So that's why we give the example of Shachros Ben Arbaim, is because that's the same as Shtei HaLemos, even if it wasn't in fact Shtei HaLemos. If you look at Tosos, Pirush Makuntras, Hadanaka Nosacha Shachros, Vachos Ben Arbaim, Kivin Davi Shuhus Ben Atayim, Kidei Leida, Choshiv Kishtei HaLemos, that the way Rashi understands it is that if you are one in the morning, one in the evening, where you had so much time in between writing the first letter, writing the second letter, that counts like Shtei HaLemos. Ve'ein Nira. Tosfos says, I don't think so. Chadad Avle Lefari Shir Shuhus. First of all, if that there is some sort of time lag in between that would count as a separate halim, the Mishnah should have told us what that amount of time is. Meaning, sometimes we know what a halim is when you realize in between that you had done something, and then you go and you forget again and you write again. So that's a normal halim. If there is such a thing as an amount of time that equals a halim, so then it should have told us that. The Mishnah should have told us what that shear is, what that amount of time is, instead of just giving us a large shear morning and afternoon and leaving us to fend for ourselves to figure out the rest. Furthermore, we just learned yesterday that let's say you write one letter in one city, another letter in another city, you're chayiv. Well, how do you get from one city to the other without a significant time lag in between? Avagav, the mistama, yeshuhus, kidei leida, mistama, from the time you write one letter to the time you write the other letter, you had time to figure out that it was Shabbos, and yet we still say you're going to be chayiv. We don't consider that shtei alemos, but according to you, Rashi, that whenever there's a time lag, that's automatically considered like shtei alemos. So shouldn't that be considered shtei alemos and be subject to machlokas? So it says, tells us v'nira b'mayri sheyada b'natayim. When we talk about achas shachros v'achas ben arbayim, we're not talking about that there's a time lag and therefore it's as if you knew in between. No, no. We're talking about a case where you did know in between. You had a yediyah in between. So why mention achas shachros v'achas arvis? It could even be 3 seconds apart from each other. If you had a yediyah in between, that's the case of our mission. That's the machlokas. Why would you mention one shachros, one arvis? Says Tosos v'achas shachros v'achas arvis. Nakat l'rabusa, to tell me a greater chiddush. The afal gav the yesh im hayediyah hefzik v'shus gadol bein atayim mechayev Rav Gamliel, to show you how far Rav Gamliel is going to go to combine the writing of these two letters. That even though not only did you have a yediyah in between to separate the writing of the first letter from the second letter, but you even had a significant amount of time separating the writing of the first letter and the writing of the second letter, afal pi kein, you're still going to be chayev according to Rav Gamliel. So it's coming to tell me the great chiddush of how far Rav Gamliel is going to go in order to be mechayev. Good, but this is the machlokas in the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim. If you have two letters in shtei alemos, chayev or pater. Rav Gamliel says chayev, Chachamim say pater. Frak the Gemara v'maykam ifli. What is the nekudas hamachlokas? What are they really arguing about? So Rav Gamliel savarei nidiyah l'chatzishir, Rabbanat savri yesh nidiyah l'chatzishir. Rav Gamliel holds that it doesn't count as no knowing in between the two letters, because what you knew about was only one letter, and that doesn't count as knowing anything, because that's only chatzi shir. Ein yedia l'chatzi shir. Whereas Rabbanan would say, even though when you realized what you had done, you only realized about a chatzi shir, that still counts as a yedia, to the extent that it will divide the ksiva of the first letter from the ksiva of the second letter as two separate acts, and therefore you're not going to be chayiv for the malacha of kosev. Hadron malacha bona. That's the end of the 12th parak of Masech Shabbos. Now we begin the 13th parak. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ha'orig shlosha chutin betchila va'achas ala orig chayiv. If a person begins weaving three strands, or if there's a garment that's already in the middle of being woven, and he adds one more strand, he's going to be chayiv. Meaning, if you're starting from scratch, so it's only considered a melach chashuva, it's only considered significant if you made three strings in the garment. But if you already have a garment there and you're just adding to it, so it's considered significant even if you add just one more string to the loom as you are weaving the garment. Why are we talking about weaving now? Why dafka do we move on to the melach of weaving? So Yontif points out that we want to dafka juxtapose weaving with kosev, because the shiurim are similar. By kosev it's shteyosios, and by weaving we're going to see that it's shtayim as well. Not according to Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the shiur by weaving is either three or one, depending if you're starting off or you're adding to an existing baget. But here we have the chachamim omrim bein mitchila bein basof shiuro beis chutin. The chachamim hold that whether you're starting off a new baguette and you're just putting a thread into the loom now, or whether you're adding thread to a baguette that's already in the loom, you're just adding another thread. Either way, the shear of a melach chashuva in regards to weaving is going to be beis chutin, to add two threads. That's true bein betchila bein basof, whether you do it at the beginning or at the end. Says Tosfos, ha'orek omeri dach garsin v'chamram bein betchila bein basof. Says the girsa has to be the way we have it in our Mishnah, that it's bein betchila bein basof, whether you're starting off a baguette or whether you're adding to an existing baguette, not bein be'emtza bein basof, whether you're in middle or finishing a baguette. Because if that were the case, then what is the word sof? Forget about what the word tchila, whether the word is tchila or emtza. What does that imply about the word sof? If you say bein betchila bein basof, so tchila means beginning, sof means later on. So sof might really mean emtza. But if you say bein be'emtza bein basof, so then you know what the word sof means. Sof means the very last thread in the beged. He says that can't be. Because when you're adding the very last thread on the beged, then even the chacham would be moda, you only need to add one thread in order to be chayiv. Because I'm reading sof perakabona, like we said in yesterday's daf, avli logar sin be'emtza asi shapir de basof lo basof mamish kamar. But if your gears is bein betchila bein basof, then you know basof doesn't really mean besof. It just means later on. It means sometime in the middle. When you add two threads, you're going to be chayiv. But if it's mamish besof, even adding one thread, where you're mamish finishing off the baguette, that you would be chayiv for, even according to the Rabbanan. So good, that's in terms of oreg. That's in terms of the melacha of weaving, and the Mishnah continues. Ha'os ha'shtei batei nirin b'nirin. If a person makes two the hetel eyes in the loom, meaning the way it would work is that in order to weave something, you need threads to go over and under, over, under, over, under, with threads going in both directions, crisscrossing each other. So it's very hard to actually stick a thread over, under, manually. So what they would do is they would tie all of the threads, every other thread in this, all the threads in this direction to rings, and they would just pull up the rings so that those threads would be lifted. Then you could stick the threads going the other way straight through, and then you'd put down the rings, and it would just land that way. It would just go in the over-under pattern the way it was supposed to. So if you make these batenirin, these loops that you would lift up every other thread by, or bekirus benafa bekavro besal chayiv, either in nirin or in any type of kli that you have to weave, like a fine sieve, a coarse sieve, any different, a basket, in any of these cases, you're going to be chayiv. Vatofer beis tfiros, now we move on to the next malach of someone sews two stitches. Vakorei al menaslit for beis tfiros, or if someone tears with the intention to sew two stitches, those are two other malachos of Shabbos, of Tofer, and Koreah. So says the Gemara, Kiyas Rabbi Yitzchak Tani Shtayim Va'anan Tan Gimel. Rabbi Yitzchak says that it's Shtayim, but our Mishnah says three, meaning what does Rabbi Elazar hold? How much weaving do you have to do? Is it three chutin or two chutin? So lo kasha, habalimi habakatini. It depends on the strings. It depends if they are thick strings or thin strings. I'm lo lahagisa. And this could be explained in both directions. Some would say in this direction that if you're using thick strings, then it's only a malach if you use three of them, because only three thick strings won't fall apart. But two, because they're so thick, it becomes like when you untie a knot. If you're untying a knot of thick strings, it's much easier than untying a knot of thin strings. So if you have thick strings, two alone would come apart too easily. But katin, but if they're very thin strings, then even two will not come apart so easily. And some say in the other direction, that if there are small, if they're thin strings, so then it's only significant if there are three of them. But if there are two, then they're not significant. It's so tiny, so it's not even. It doesn't even appear that they're even woven. So it wouldn't be significant at all. Alimi, but if they're thick strings, trei nami yadi'i, then even two is considered significant enough. Tanya, ha'orig gimel chutin b'tchila ve'echra la'orig chayiv. If a person weaves three strings to start off a beged, or he adds one to an existing beged, he's chayiv. V'chamram ben b'chil ben b'sof shirim beis chutin. Like our Mishnah said, v'cham hold, no, it doesn't matter whether you're starting off a beged, whether you're in the middle of a beged, two chutin is the shir. Ubesafa beis chutin berochav gimel batei nirin. And on the edge of a beged, when you're making a separate edge around the beged, so then the shear is two strings with the width of gimel batei nirin. Halamaze dome laoreg tziltzel katan. It's like being oreg a tziltzel katan, a small belt that they would make that wasn't very wide. It was only the width of gimel batei nirin. Beis chutin berochav gimel batei nirin. Vaoreg gimel chutin betchila ve'echra laoreg chayiv stomach rablaza. So the Mishnah had said that if you weave from the beginning, you weave three strings into a beged, or you add to an existing beged one string, so you're going to be chayiv. So that price is stomach Rabbi Elazar. It's assuming like Rabbi Elazar. Right, in our Mishnah, we didn't just have a Tanakama, we had Rabbi Eliezer is the one that said that the shear is three strings when you're starting off, and one added to an existing beged. So when the Brisa just quotes it stam, that stam Brisa is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Tanya Idach, we have another brisa, ha'orig beis chutin alagas. If you weave two strands into a large fabric, vale imor on the border, chayiv. Rabbi Elazar omer afilu echad, even if you have just one strand. Ubesaf ha'shnei chutin baruch of shlosha batei nirin chayiv. And on the edge, if you add two strings with the width of three batei nirin, you're chayiv. Halamaze dome la'orig tzilzul katan, it's like weaving a small belt. Shnei chutin al roch of gimel batei nirin, where the small belt is made with two strings that are the width of gimel batei nirin. Who's that price of going like? Va'orig stomach rabbanon. That price of the stam tana in that price is the rabbanon, because in that price it talks about weaving and it talks about two strings. So the first price that we had was stomach Rabbi Eliezer, because the first price that we had when a quarter of Tanakama spoke about starting off a beged with three strings, adding to a beged with one string. So that was going like Rabbi Eliezer. This second brisa assumes like this is stomach rabbanan, because it talks about two strings being the shear of oreg. The Chiddush Aran raises the question: what do you mean stomach Rabbi Eliezer? It's Rabbi Eliezer's beferish. So it says Rabbi Elazar beferish. The Chiddush Aran asks, where does it say? It doesn't say Rabbi Elazar beferish. Maybe I misunderstood the question. Meaning, I guess what he's asking is, what's the Chiddush? Meaning, it's saying exactly. It's the Braisa just paraphrases what the Mishnah says, just without the words Rabbi Elazar. So of course it's stomach Rabbi Elazar. So okay, I'm not sure what the problem with that is, but okay. So says the Gemara Vayter now. Vatover based tefiros. If a person sows Bikirus. We said if you make a kirus, so what is a kirus? My bikirus, amarav matsuvisa. It's a curtain that a weaver is going to make on a frame. Vatofer based tefiros. If someone stitches two stitches, hatanina. Ba'avos melachos vatofer based tefiros. Wait a second. We had a Mishnah on Daf Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah went through all 39 melachos of Shabbos. One of the melachos of Shabbos was tofer shtei tefiros. So what are we adding over here? Now, what the Mishnayos are trying to do is give us details about each malacha. You know how long we discussed the malacha of Tofer for? That's it. HaTofer beis Tfiros. Those are all the words that we use now. So all we did is just mention the malacha again. We already said the malacha. And Davayim Gimel, what are we adding over here? Sansa's Gemara, Mishum, de Kabayi, Lemisna Seifa, Vakorei Al Manaslit for beis Tfiros, Katarinami HaTofer. Now, we just use HaTofer as an introduction to the next malacha, which is the very last line of our Mishnah, of HaKorea al Menaslit for Beis Tefiros. So since the definition of Korea is expressed vis-a-vis its relationship to Tofer, so we mention Tofer first. So Frek the Gemara, great, but what do we say about Korea over here? We don't really say anything either. Va-Korea hanami tanina b'avos melachos. Korea is also mentioned amongst the avos melachos, and we're not adding any details over here either about Korea. And so Gemara, l'mishum d'gemara l'mishum seifa Korea b'chamas aval meso, mishumachi k'tani atover shtei tefiros. It's all about setting up the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is going to tell us, what if you're tearing not almanas litfar, but you're tearing to let go of some anger, or you're tearing over a dead body, or something like that? So that by way of introducing that, we have to mention Korea almanas litfar, but in order to discuss Korea almanas litfar, we first have to talk about Tofer. So all of it sets up the next Mishnah. Fine. Says the Gemara now at the two dots. Va'koreya almanas litfar shtei tefiros. Hechi mishkachasla. What's the case where your korea in order to be tofer shtei tefiros? Meaning, why would you tear if you just want to sew it again? If you wanted it sewed, I have a better idea than tearing it and sewing it. Just don't tear it in the first place. Leave it, and it will be sewed. So says the Gemara. Da avda ki kista. No, it was sewn in a shoddy way. It was very lumpy, and you want to make it nice and smooth. You want to sew it properly, so you tear out the stitches in order to make better stitches to sew properly. Now is the mission that we were trying to set up. If a person tears something in anger, val meso, or over a dead body, v'kol makalkalin, or any destructive act, peturin. Val makalkal, manas l'sakin, shiro kemisakin. But if a person is destructive, al manas, to fix it later, then the shiro is kemisakin, then it's like he's being constructive. Shira malabin, v'minapitz, v'atzoveh, v'atoveh, the shear of all of these malachos, all these garment-related malachos, is the double the width of a sit. A sit is the distance between the middle finger and the pointer when you hold them as far apart out from each other as they can go. So double sit is twice that distance. Va'orik shnei chutin shiro kmo asit. In terms of the shear of weaving, the shear of the size of strings that you're weaving has to be kmo asit, the size of one sit, not a double sit. Uriminhu, so ask my askastira. So we said in the beginning of our Mishnah here that if you tear something in anger or over a mace, you're putter because that's considered destructive. That's mekalkel. So frak the Gemara askastira hakorea b'chamaso. If someone tears something in anger, ube evlo or in avelus as a sign of mourning, va'al meso over a dead body, chayiv. He's going to be chayiv afal pisha mechalas Shabbos yotzei de kriya. And not only that, even though he's mechalas Shabbos, he's still yotzei the mitzvah of kriya. You have a mitzvah to tear kriya when someone, when a relative dies, and we'll see soon when other people die also. So he's yotzei the kriya, even though he's mechal Shabbos. But the point is, this price says that he's mechal Shabbos. Our Mishnah said he's not. He's potter because it's considered to be mekalkel. Now, why is it? How could that be? Let's assume like this price for a second that it is chil Shabbos. So how could it be that yotzei de kriya? Whatever happened to the concept of mitzvah baba avera? Why isn't it like matzah gezula, where you're not yotzei yechiv on Pesach, even though you eat perfectly kosher matzah? Because you happen to have stolen it, and it's a mitzvah baba vera, so you're not yotzei. So the Yerushalmi asks this kash over here, and the Yerushalmi says, Hasum gufa avera, but over here it's not gufa avera. He did an avera, but it's not gufa avera. So the Mefarshim Yerushalmi explained that when you steal matzah and you eat it, without stealing you would not have had matzah. And when you eat it, you now take away the chance to fix the avera that you did of veheshves agzela, right? To fix it through veheshves agzela. But by kriya, you could be mekayim the mitzvah of kriya after Shabbos. The fact that it's Shabbos doesn't doesn't contribute to the mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah b'aveira when the aveira contributes to the mitzvah. Over here, the fact that it's Shabbos doesn't contribute to the mitzvah. You could have done the mitzvah after Shabbos, so that's why it's not considered a mitzvah b'aveira. But bottom line is, the Gemara still has a steer over here. How come our Mishnah says that you're pater because these are destructive ways of tearing, and yet the Brisa says that you're chayiv? Says more lo kasha. It depends if this is a mace that's your mace. When the Brisa says you're chayiv, it's your own mace that you have a chiyuv to tear kriya on, and therefore it's constructive because you're fulfilling your mitzvah of kriya. Whereas the Mishnah, when it says that it's completely destructive, is talking about a mace di alma. It's talking about a mace that you have no chiyuv to tear kriya on, so it's totally destructive to just be ripping clothing. Now notice that only answers the stira about tearing on a mace. There's a double stira over here. We also said in our Mishnah that korea b'chamaso is pater, and it said in the Brisa that korea b'chamaso in anger is chayiv. The Gemara will get to that. The Gemara will answer that as well. First, we're going to work on the stira though about tearing over a mace. So, frek the Gemara, wait a second. How can you tell me that in our Mishnah, the reason that you're going to be pater is because it's considered destructive since it's not your mace. It's not your responsibility to tear va meso katani. It doesn't say that you tear al hames, it says al meso. That implies that it is your chiyuv to tear kriya on the mace in our Mishnah. Says Gmar Liol Bemes today. You're right. It's got to be talking about your mace, someone you have to tear kriya on. But it's someone that you have no one to, that you have no obligation to be misabel on, and that's when you're going to be pater. So, frak the Gemara, who cares that you have no chiyuv of avelus? If he's a chacham, you still have to tear kriya on a chacham, even if it's not bnei avelus. Titania chacham shemes hakol kekrovav. The Brisa tells us hakol krovav, that if a chacham dies, everybody is his relative. Hakol krovav sal gadaitach, when everyone becomes his blood relative, it obviously doesn't mean that. Ela ima hakol kikrovav. It means everyone becomes like a relative in the sense that hakol korin alav, hakol choltin alav, hakol marvin alav berachava. There are certain avelus practices that everyone has to do, including tearing kriya. So revealing their shoulders, bearing their shoulders. That's choltin alav, marvin alav berachava. They would have the first meal out in the Rechava, the Sudas Havra. So everyone should do that when it's a Chacham Shemes. But bottom line is a Chacham Shemes, you do have to tear Kriya. So how can you call that destructive and say that you're Pater in our Mishnah? So now the guy in our Mishnah that you're tearing for is not a Chacham. Okay, but even if he's not a Chacham, even if he's just an Adam Kasher, you have to tear Kriya. Why do people, Nebuch, Rechman al-Tzlan, lose their children when they're young? So that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will encourage you to cry and be misabel for an Adam Kasher. Says the Gemara, how does that make any sense? Hashem is going to take away your children so that you will in the future cry for an Adam Kasher, and then what? Then when you do it, he'll give them back to you? Is it Kadesh Yivka Irvona Shakli Mine? What, it's a collateral he's taking and then he's going to give it back to you? Well, what kind of comment is that? El Mibnei Shalobach of Isabel Adam Kasher. No, it's not about the future and Hashem motivating you for the future. It's about punishment for the past. If a person was not Misabel al Adam Kasher, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them by taking away Banav Benosuk Shehein Ketanim. But the bottom line is that we do see that there is this concept of Misabel Adam Kasher. Shekalaboch al Adam Kasher, Mochlan al Kalavanosa, Bishvil Kavachasa. Anyone who cries over an Adam Kasher is going to get Mechilas Avonos for the Kavu that he's giving to an Adam Kasher. So even just for an Adam Kasher, you have to tear Kriya. Says Mar Lotzricha Dlav Adam Kasher. Okay, you're right. So that wouldn't be called Mekalkel. The case in our mission that's Mekalkel in tearing Kriya must be that the guy's not an Adam Kasher, that he's not an Adam Kasher. Even if he's not an Adam Kasher, he still have to tear Kriya. Why? Even if you're just there when the Neshama leaves, you should be Chayiv. D'tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ha'omid al Ameis B'Shas Tzias Neshama, Chayiv L'Kro. If someone stands there at the time of Tzias Neshama, when a Jewish person dies, he has to tear Kriya. Ha'lamaze Adome, L'Sefer Torah Shenisrafa. It's like a Sefer Torah that's being burnt. We have a minhag, the Magen Avraham quotes in Siman Mem Daled, that we even fast from the Sefer Torah is nafal, when the Sefer Torah falls, but the source, in, there's no source in Shas for that. The source in Shas is for Sefer Torah shenisraf, that a Sefer Torah gets burnt that we tear kriya and that we fast and etc. That we take on certain practices of mourning. But bottom line is that when a Jewish person dies, when a person even if he's not an adam kasher and you're there at the shas tzias neshama, there is a chiyuv kriya. There's a major shaila for doctors. Do doctors tear kriya when some doctors work in certain fields, geriatrics or oncology or whatever, different fields where it's very common that they're there b'shas yitzias neshama. So do they have to tear kriya? So Rav Moshe holds, yeah, if they're b'shas yitzias neshama, you got to tear kriya. Shlomo Zalman, I think, says that if they're wearing the white doctor's coat that's owned by the hospital, they don't own it, so then they don't have to tear kriya. It's like if you're wearing someone else's beged, you don't have rishus to tear the beged, so you don't have to, because the mitzvah is on the beged elyon, it's on the upper beged, the outer beged, and that's not their beged. So maybe that would be a way out that they wouldn't have to tear kriya. So we certainly wouldn't want doctors to be discouraged from being there b'shas yitzias neshama because they don't want to lose another good suit. So it's probably a good idea to come up with some sort of kula to encourage the doctors to want to be there with the patient and with the family. So says Mar Lo Tzricha to Lo Kai b'shas yitzias neshama. Now our mission must be talking about a case where you're not there b'shas yitzias neshama, and that's why it's considered mekalkel to just tear. So says Mar Tenach Meso. Okay, that answered the stira about meso, about tearing kriya over a mace. But chamaso achamaso kasha. But we still have the stira about tearing in anger. Our Mishnah said that if you tear in anger, that's considered destructive and you're putter. But the Brisa says that you're chayiv for tearing something in anger. It's also not a kasha. Harav Yehuda, Harav Shimon, they reflect different shitos in Tanaim. Harav Yehuda, Dam Melacha Shein Shricha Lagufa Chayiv Laha. Meaning tearing something in anger is considered a Melacha Shein Shricha Lagufa. So if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Melacha Shein Shricha Lagufa, you're chayiv on. So that would be like the brisa that you chayiv for tearing something in anger. Har Rabbi Shimon the Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa Pater Alei. Whereas if you hold like Rabbi Shimon the Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa, you're pater for. So that would be like the Mishnah that you're pater for tearing something in anger. Says Gemara Emor the Shamele the Rabbi Bemesakein Bemekalkel Mishamele. Wait a second. Even Rabbi Yehuda is only going to say you chayiv the Melach Shein Shrich Lugufa when it's productive. But over here you're being completely destructive. You're just tearing something in anger. You're just breaking things. That's completely destructive. Amar Rabbi Yavin, Hai Nami Misakein Hu. The Ka'avid Nachas Ruach Li Yitzro. No, that's also called Misakein because he's making Nachas Ruach Li Yitzro. It helps the anger subside when he lets out his anger on something. Okay, Agavna Mishari, so says Gemara, wait a second. Is that really permissible? V'atani Rabbi Shimon Elazar Amar Mishum Chilfa Ben Bar Igra, Sham Mishum Rabbi Yochum Ben Nuri, Hamakarea Begadu Bechamaso, V'amashabar Kelu Bechamaso. Let's say you're wasteful because you're angry. You're going around breaking things and throwing money around and just doing destructive things and tearing clothing because you're angry. So you see somebody doing that, you should view such a person as if he's being Ovid Avodah Zarah, meaning that is not proper behavior. That is not something that is productive behavior. Such a person, you could assume, is like an Ovid Avodah Zarah, because that's how the Yetzer Hara tends to work. Hayom amar lo asei kach, ulamachar amar lo asei kach. Today he tells you to do this, tomorrow he's going to tell you to do that. It starts with anger. Ad sha'omar lo avod avodah zarah v'holich v'oved. Until he tells you, go do avodah zarah, and then you're more than happy to listen and to go do avodah zarah. Amar Rabbi Yavin Mikra, where's the pasuk that tells us that anger is the beginning signs of being ovid avodah zarah? Lo yebucha el zar lo seshtach v'la el nechar. Ezu el zar sheish begufa shel adam. What's the el zar that's becha, that's in you, that's in a person, that's in a gufa shel adam? Havayomer ze yetzer hara. That's a reference to the yetzer hara. So by giving in to the yetzer hara, it's ultimately going to lead to, it's like giving in to avodah zarah. So bottom line is, we're stuck with the question. Don't just tell me Kareya Bechamaso that you're going to say that Rabbi Yehuda would say Chayiv, and that's why the Brisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Even Rabbi Yehuda would only say Melach Shein Shrich Luguf as Chayiv if you're being productive. Over here, this is purely destructive. Answers the Gemara, no, it's productive. You're not just stam ripping things in anger. Lo Tzricha Dekavid Lemir Me'emasa Ayin Shibesei. You're trying to give a certain sense of fear in your household. You want people in the household to fear you a little bit, so you show that you're serious by breaking things. But it's not because stam you're letting out your anger. but you're trying to send a message to your family. So when you're trying to not love dafka your family, the servants, whoever is in the house, you're trying to send a message about who's boss to the family. It's like when you come home and the housekeeper has trafed up half the kitchen. So you call the rabbi with the shailas of what's kosher, what's not kosher. So one thing that's a good idea is not to tell the housekeeper, don't worry, it's no big deal. If you're going to kasher something and go through the tircha and you go through the trouble, let us see that it's annoying and that you have to go through all that trouble. And that is a big deal. There are other things that aren't a big deal, but that is a big deal. Not necessarily get angry and scream and throw and, but to show that it is something that's significant, that it is. So sometimes it's healthy to show that you are serious about certain things and not everything is just going to be poo-pooed and not everything is just going to be okay. Now this itself seems like a direct stira with another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Maseches Gittin about Ema Yaseira B'Soch Beis, about being Matil Ema in a person's house. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Vavan Beis, says, Amar Rav Chisa La'olam Al yatil adam ema yaseira b'soch beiso. Shari Pilegish Begiva hitala bala ema yaseira vi pila kamar revavos mi Yisrael. That's how the story of Pilegish Begiva at the end of Sefer Shoftim started, with the guy being matil ema yaseira in the house, and the Pilegish had to run away, and because she ran away, he went to retrieve her, and then when he went to retrieve her on the way back, they stopped in that town, and they were staying by the person's house, and they asked for the guy, and the guy threw out the Pilegish for them to violate the Pilegish, and then she died, and then he cut up her, the whole story. He cut her up into 12 pieces, sent out into all of Klal Yisrael. How could you let this happen? And it caused a civil war, and thousands of people died. And how did it start? Ema Yisera B'Soch Beiso. So the Gemara, that's pretty frightening. The Gemara says, Ema Yisera B'Soch Beiso is a terrible thing. So why is it okay over here? So you could say there's one key word, a difference. Over there is Ema Yisera B'Soch Beiso. Excessive Ema B'Soch Beiso. Over here it's Lemirma Emasa Inchi Beise. To cause Ema, but not Ema Yisera. Also the Rambam, in the second paragraph of Hilchos Deos, Maritzchias quotes over here, the Rambam, the second paragraph of Hilchos Deos, says that there are certain Deos that a person should not act bebeinonis. Meaning there is a concept of Shvil Azov that we should always try to get, not to go too far to one extreme or another extreme, but certain deos you're supposed to go to a certain extreme, namely gova lev, to be a bal gaiva. It's not a derech tov, we just mentioned the other day, to be 50-50 on gaiva, to be 50, halfway down the middle, in the middle between humble and being a bal gaiva. No, ma'od ma'od havishval ruach, a person is supposed to be very, very humble. Anyone who's magia libos, kafar be'ikr, shachachta sashem alukecha. And furthermore, the Rambam says Yilamir Atzmo Shalo Yichos. Kas is another midah ra ad lemaod. Anger is a very terrible midah. You need to go to the opposite extreme of anger. It's not okay to be halfway down the middle on anger either. He says you can only, even things that are worthy of getting angry at, you shouldn't get angry at. V'imratza lahatil ema al banav ubnei beiso, says the Rambam. Let's say you need to show your children that you're angry, that it's not okay for them to run into the street. You need to show that you need to be matil ema. Oh well, at tziburim hayaparnes, or let's say you're a leader of a community and the community is doing something terrible, you need to show that you're very upset. So you have to show anger in order for them to go back on the right path. So the Rambam says the trick is that you have to express anger without feeling anger. If a person feels angry when he's disciplining his children, he should stop, walk away, come back and discipline them an hour later. A person should not be feeling anger, certainly when arguing with his wife, should ever be feeling anger. A person has to learn how to express anger without feeling anger. And that's what this Gemara is talking about. Our Gemara is not about getting angry, it's about expressing anger. So one way of expressing the anger is by tearing things. That's called misakin in some way. And then the Gemara gives examples. Ki had Rav Yehuda shalof matzvi yasa. Rav Yehuda pulled off the border of his clothing. Rav Acha bar Yaakov tavar mani taviri. He would break already broken kelim. I mean, he didn't want to be wasteful. If he was really angry, he would act irrationally. No, he took things that were already broken and broke them as a way of expressing anger in a rational way. Rav Sheshes Rami Lamasei Monini Areshe, he would throw fish brine at his maid's head. Rav Abba Tavar Nechtama, he broke the lid of a pitcher. Once we talk about the idea of Korea al Meso and Korea the Chamaso, so after we mention Korea al Meso, so we talk about how appropriate it is to cry properly over the loss of an Adam Kasher. Let's actually save that sugya for tomorrow. Just mention on what we did already. We said that when someone dies, it's like a Sefer Torah Shenisrov, and that's why you have Ter Kriya. Rashi points out over here that when you see a Sefer Torah Shenisrov, it's a Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chavav that you have to Ter Kriya, and then the Neshama of Yisrael is like a Sefer Torah Shenisrov. This probably relates to the idea that the Torah is considered to be for Klal Yisrael Chakuk Aluach Libecha, that it's considered to be engraved on the heart of a Jew. So when a Neshama, when a Neshama of a Jew is taken away, so it's literally like a Sefer Torah Shenisrov. We pointed out in the past, Rav Shechter writes in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that's why the halacha is that Mesei Akum, there's no mitzvah of Kavura, because Akum have mitzvos, but they're Tashmishei mitzvah, they're not Tashmishei Kedusha. Tashmishei mitzvah, lachras man mitzvason, you can get rid of them like lulav or whatever, you just throw it out in a respectful way. Tashmishei Kedusha, things that have actual ksav shel Torah on it, like Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, those need to be put in Geniza, those need to be put in Shemos. A neshama of a Jew, it's not just that we have more mitzvos than an Akum. We have more mitzvos than B'nai Noach. It's not just the number of mitzvos. It's qualitative nature. It's that it's chakuk aluach libecha, that each Jew is a walking Sefer Torah. And therefore, there's a chiv kriya just like on a Sefer Torah shenisraf. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll discuss hesped and the proper reaction to death.